Robinhood Radio presents Flavor Matters with Serge Matakians. He's the owner of Saravan Restaurant in Armenia. If you can't find him in the kitchen or gardens, then follow him either on Facebook or Twitter at Saravan NY.
Hello, everyone, and thank you for tuning in. This is Serge from Flavor Matters and Saravan Restaurant, continuing my series on the Armenians and Armenian life and Armenians. And I am continuing my conversation with Nelly Ashkan, who is joining me from California, Los Angeles, California, specifically via Zoom. Thank you for joining me again, Nelly.
Thank you, Serge.
So, Nelly, we spoke about your life in Lebanon. We spoke about the Armenian neighborhood in which you grew up. You introduced us to your upbringing, which was Armenian but worldly in many ways because of not only the languages that you were exposed to and you studied and you're fluent in now, but also the work that your mother did, the education that your father received, both of your parents, and the influences that they integrated, European and American influences that they integrated into your Armenian household. And it became clear as you and I were speaking that a work in videos and video technology, for lack of a better word, was sort of destined for you because of your father's business and what your father was doing. Have I summarized our previous conversation, would you say, accurately? Do you want to add something to it?
Yeah, this is very accurate, actually.
Right. So you speak Arabic, and you're 22 years old, and you come to the U.S. to launch a newly Arabic-speaking radio station. Just to make a note, it's not Al Jazeera, but a different radio station. And you land in Washington, D.C. One of the things that we didn't touch upon was your artistic, your creative work, your deep sense of wanting to express yourself, your deep sense of being an Armenian woman who has grown up in Lebanon, but within a very dominant and strong and pronounced Armenian culture in which a woman has a predefined traditional role of bearing children, becoming a wife, and continuing on the Armenian traditions. But in our conversations, you mentioned that you were a tomboy. You didn't really know what that meant for you. You came to the U.S. and things started to reveal themselves to you. Could you take us through that journey?
Yeah. So I landed in America, and at that point I was pretty much on my own. And that was the part where, you know, I get to decide and choose, you know, how to live this life on this planet. And the first thing, you know, that happens is that there's always an interim situation here. You know, yes, you know, you grow up as a tomboy, you know, you have different senses and sensibilities. And then later at 20s, you realize, you come to a new country, a new continent, and there's a whole different kind of mentality, which was, you know, career, women living alone was okay, you know, women not getting married at a certain age was, you know, acceptable. So you get to start, you look around, you know, your surrounding, and you realize, wait a minute, it's not just one way of doing or living this life. There's so many different ways. And that's the kind of where I had an eye-opening experience in the States, which, you know, at first it was always the rush to you know, let's get a great job. And then soon after that, you're thinking, how do we move on to finding a partner and then getting married and do all the steps very traditionally. But then as soon as you realize there's something new here, of course, you get excited and you start tapping into those areas where...
If I may interrupt really quickly, you say that there's something new here, but in Lebanon, you had a sense that there is something different within you. Am I correct?
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. So,
but within Lebanon, there was no sense of identifying that feeling. And it was mm-hmm. in the U.S. that you began to find the vocabulary, mm-hmm. the means. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
No, definitely.
But from my conversation, you know, it seemed like you were able to not only accept but recognize your internal conflict that you had when you were in Lebanon.
I think when you arrive in a place that is like rich as you know, the States in America, there's an acceleration of things like culture, the people, the food. So when you start looking around, it's accelerated experience. You get it really quickly just by looking around. It doesn't
take... you're also 22.
Yeah, you're absorbing also. and you're rushing to experience life.
Right.
And it's, you know, in both ways, there's that, getting acquainted, but yet, you know, you want to feel like, yes, you know, this is my new home, and you want to start, you know, feeling like you belong and feel welcome. Then you also want to, you know, understand your position as an individual in this new country. How can you live here, and what is the, you know, what are the potential things that I can explore? And that definitely, when you touch on that tomboy, you know, it's definitely a land for, you know, figuring that out, because it's very diverse. And along the years, when I arrived, you know, late 2008, I think I, you know, that moment, 2008, the Prop 8 protest that happened in Los Angeles while I was still living on the East Coast, it kind of reinforces
quickly tell us about Prop 8? Remind us what it is.
Prop
8. So you're in the U.S. already for 4 years because you arrived in 2004. Mm-hmm. So you've been going through this, for lack of a better word, this chrysalis, this metamorphosis mm-hmm. of becoming, your insides are now coming out, and the age of internet and connectivity, you learn about Prop 8. Tell us what Prop 8 was in California.
Prop 8 was the protest for Prop 8 was supposed to was in the way I understand it is a proposition that gave the LGBTQ their rights. So it was a huge protest. As I remember, just like today, a lot of the videos were flooding, but also I was already starting to build a connection from East Coast to West Coast with the Armenian community. So I was at that stage, you know, acknowledged, like I had the idea that a lot of Armenians live on the West Coast. That's where my curiosity came to connect with a lot of the West Coast artists. And that year, when Facebook was starting to grow, we started connecting with a lot of friends. And one of my first friends from the West Coast was Armine, who was your previous guest. And she opened up, like she posted, she was a photographer, activist from the day one. I remember meeting her, and she posted the Prop 8 photos. And I was like, wow, you know, this is huge. For Prop A to, you know, for the LGBT community to, you know, establish that huge presence and laws and rights, it was for me a huge event. And actually, from one of the photos, eventually I found my partner, Mel Saroyan, who, you know, we're together for 12 years. So that was kind of a very important event in my life. Those photos, actually, to be honest.
Right.
We're very impactful.
You know, what I find interesting, and again, you know, our time is limited. What I find interesting is in our conversations, you mentioned about still existing within the paradigm of the traditional Armenian woman role. So you had boyfriends and you had this boyfriend and he confronted you in Fresno with a comment of, wait a second, what is going on here? Every time we go out, you seem to be hanging out or flirting with the women.
Yeah, he was, well, I really appreciated him because, you know, back home or, you know, in general in the communities or, you know, with the people I'm surrounded with, they don't tell you straightforward. So he was really the first person who straightforward told me, you know, like, you know, this is, you need to think about this. So in his kind ways, because he was the kindest sweetheart.
Lucky to have friends like that in our life.
Yeah. It was actually eye-opening moment, or, you know, to realize that, okay, you grew up or you were brought up to this world to continue this ancestral heritage of getting married, having kids. But it seems like the route that, you know, the path is drawn differently for you. So, and that's where you have to embrace it with a lot of love instead of fighting it. I wasn't fighting it, to be honest. I was always in, you know, a foot here, a foot there. That's why, you know, I did both at the same time. And the 4 years between 2004 and until that Prop 8, I think I was in still finding mode. I was trying to find her voice. And I think, you know, with...
When you say your voice, meaning your inner voice?
My inner voice, yes. Exactly. And
I think it's important for the listeners to know that you weren't playing, you know, when you say I was playing both sides, it's not in a manipulative way.
No, but no, absolutely.
More, yeah, I mean, I understand that, but I want to reiterate it.
Yeah,
but
I
want to. It's an attempt. It's an honest, truthful attempt of identifying yourself within a paradigm in which you've been woven into.
Yeah, I was. You know, it comes with a lot of times you. At some point, you know, personally, unlike a lot of, you know, women at back home, they would stay in a closet or, you know, continue that path as the traditional path and then, you know, commit to do other things behind everybody's back or the husband's back or whatnot. But I never thought that I can, first of all, do anything like that to that person who told me, you know, you need to transition.
Right.
I couldn't have imagined myself getting married and then 10 years later, the headache of, you know, getting separated and kids in the middle of it. That's the part where it's accelerated experience of culture. You also know that, hey, there's something here that's called divorce, whereas back home, there isn't such thing. And, you know, you hear a lot of those stories. It's very different.
It is very different. And forgive me for interrupting, because I want to also sort of create a lead way for our next segment. We're coming to a close for this segment. I mean, I understand your quest for authenticity. I understand your quest for sincerity of existence within this world. And I will venture to say that it is that authenticity, that truthfulness to yourself that has led you to be the artist that you are today. Would you...
That's put very beautifully. I really appreciate that. Yeah.
I feel like as a creative person, I'm a few years older than you. I think as a creative person, the older I get, the more I shed of my beliefs, because I want to be as authentic and as empty and as mm-hmm. naked, so I can perceive as clearly as I can, and hence reflect as deeply as I can without filters. And I think that's what you do in your work.
Yeah, that's exactly how, you know, it came about to become a visual artist. You know, you have a lot to say, and what you have to say is, you know, people want to hear that. People want to see what you're going through. And feel the emotions, and you start, you know, weaving a story, because, you know, art you always find a story behind, you know, the beautiful imageries and colors.
And it
touches every human universally, whether it is, you know, whether it is pain, love, or sadness. It's always coming from that core, deep, truthful voice that you, as an artist, are looking for, or you found, or you're still exploring, or sometimes you want to even take it further and explore more. What is that?
Exactly. Voice. Mm-hmm. Nelly-chan, thank you so much. I hope that we can speak a little bit longer, if you don't mind sticking around. Thank you, everyone, for listening to our conversation. I've had the pleasure of speaking with Nelly Ashkhan, an Armenian-Lebanese artist currently living in Los Angeles, California. This is Serge from Saravan Restaurant and Flavor Matters.
Flavor Matters is a joint production of the Saravan Restaurant and Robin Hood Radio. For more information on the Saravan Restaurant in Amenia, New York, saravan.com on the web.